I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. Sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 696, a true milestone.
Truly.
Yeah, truly.
The Buzz Lightyear.
It's a movie.
Light beer.
I wish I had been drinking.
No, you don't.
I mean, no, I don't, but it would have made it more enjoyable.
I liked it.
Maybe.
I did as well.
I liked it. I mean, it's mid tier Pixar.
That's it.
But it was.
I'd say low tier.
It was no.
Oh no.
Good Dinosaur.
I'd watch this over the Good Dinosaur.
Luca.
I'd watch this over Luca.
I'd watch Luca over this.
I'd get a colonoscopy before I'd watch Luca again. That movie was a snooze. In fact,
I enjoyed
Luca,
but
I could partner those two together. Luca could be the anesthesia for my colonoscopy. Luca was a snooze.
I mean, oh, see, I think Luca. The Good Dinosaur is the worst Pixar, but I think
I'd
this
watch
is,
Good
I think...
Dinosaur over Luca.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Could have been. I
think this is a step above Good Dinosaur, but yeah.
I thought it looked amazing.
It did.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, let's kind of the norm. Go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves because I forgot to do that last
week. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Before we dig in, quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, TuneIn, iHeart, wherever you can find us. Spotify, should say that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They give us a dollar every time I say it.
Hey, now.
They give me a dollar.
What? I'm not saying any dollars.
So you
Spotify,
can...
Spotify, Spotify.
It's not like Beetlejuice.
Oh crap! Spotify just appeared.
Oh, where
it would
was
be
I?
Rogan? Rogan
oh,
would just geez, shows
he
up.
Kicks oh. in your door,
like the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, where was I at this? Oh, shameless plugs. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Also, you could become a League of Show Shares member. It's very easy. You just share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week: Heather Sachs, David Rojas, Ralph Tribble, Christopher Rex, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Sherman Powers, Lane Levanway, Brendan McGuckin, Chris Valls, Tom Dowdy, Librarian Cynthia, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Binge Movies, Vertigay314, Joey Faubert, Colby Mack, Mike and Oscar, Ronnie Castle, Nostalgia Cast, Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, Geek to Me Radio, Chris Wilson, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Invasion of the Remake, Feel and Film, and Matt Naglia. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. And finally, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out, and it's greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all that. Let's dig in.
Oh, man.
So people seem mad that this movie exists.
It's so weird. Like this is such a weird thing that is happening.
And I'm not mad this movie exists at all. I think that's ridiculous to get mad. just to say like, oh God, you can't make a movie about blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, whatever. That's what they choose to make a story about.
But it's like, it's not even, I can't understand any sort of outrage about a Buzz Lightyear movie. But when they throw that, you know, and I wonder if they tested it, and I wonder if that tag at the very beginning was like, we should probably let them know what we're trying to do here.
I think that was probably always.
You think
there.
So?
Yeah. Like, I think you need, because you do need to let people know.
Well, yeah, if you say they're making a Buzz Lightyear movie, you're instantly thinking they're making a spinoff with just the toy.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I think that was always there.
Okay. And I do think it's confusing, though, especially when the majority of your audience is children. Now, obviously, I know adults watch Pixar, but it's still a kids' movie.
Yeah.
And to just throw the people into it, and especially parents. Remember, parents don't live on film Twitter. Parents aren't making movie podcasts. So when they go, oh, there's a new Lightyear movie.
I'm making a movie podcast.
I'm a parent too. Yeah.
Okay, Joe.
Oh, happy Father's Day, gentlemen.
Thank you. But, so I think it's really important to explain what it is, because it is very confusing to make this type of movie. This isn't even a prequel of the toy. This is such...
But you could throw that. I mean, you could just say that
what
this
about
is...
Buzz Lightyear or Star Command? Nobody seemed to be like,
yeah, that's
flummoxed
that cartoon,
by that.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a cartoon.
Yeah.
Right, but I think that. But releasing a movie, I think whenever you put something in a different medium, like that was 2D animation and it was a Disney Channel cartoon show. I just mean, if you're making a Buzz Lightyear movie, when you jump to movie, you instantly think of the other movies, and
right.
So that's where I think the confusion comes in. It's just because it's a Lightyear movie,
right?
If it were a cartoon, spinoff, whatever, then you're like,
well,
oh,
then
that's
you also had, you know, the right upset because they're like, you got rid of Tim Allen because he's a Republican. Like, like when Fox canceled the show, they only let it be on for 8 seasons.
Well, that's first of all, I mean, that's the other ridiculous thing, because
8 seasons.
Yeah.
Because like 37 episodes or whatever.
What's that?
Was it like 37 of season? You know, so it's like,
I think that it originally got canceled after the fifth season,
okay.
Which is hardly silencing a voice. Right. And then it ended up sticking around for another 3 seasons because they threw a temper tantrum. But
good Lord.
And I'm like, if Disney hates Disney hates Tim Allen so much, they said, you can't be Buzz Lightyear. But by the way, we'd like to make a spinoff series of the Santa Claus with you for Disney.
Yeah, but also
Plus.
Like
he's got a show coming out this Christmas season.
He was
so
Buzz. He was Buzz in Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Like, he was still Buzz Lightyear, so it's like,
which is
what
like,
are you talking?
3 years ago?
Yeah.
The thing that people, I think I said this online, but people, when there's a movie and a toy comes out, it almost is always a different voice. They can't usually pay the actor.
Is it still like that? I thought these days they like lumped it into your deal and
sometimes,
you typically have the same voice. Now, in the 90s, this movie is set,
this is super accurate for the 90s.
Yeah. Correct, yes.
I will say the Avengers game, like the current event, like the PS5 game, doesn't have any of the voices. Like,
well,
they're voices that are like,
close,
maybe.
Yeah.
But
they probably made an Avengers game that came out in conjunction with the film.
No.
They didn't? I don't do video games.
No,
so.
They didn't. There was really nothing that came out. There was a Captain America game, and there was an Iron Man game, but there really wasn't anything.
They don't usually do their... I mean, again, that may happen a little more these days, but honestly, it's just these actors have their going rate, and doing that kind of work, they would be demanding film rates, and video games can't pay that, right?
Nope.
For all, especially like Avengers, if they have tons of characters.
They can pay it.
I mean...
Video games make so damn much money.
Yeah.
Like, let's not act like video. I mean, video games make more money than movies.
Yeah, they
sometimes.
Do. Big time.
I mean, you know,
well,
but,
sometimes, but you can't always depend on that. That Avengers game flopped big
it
time.
Did.
So, I mean, they would have lost their asses. They did lose their asses.
Yeah.
And if you paid $30 million a voice actor, you just can't. It doesn't always work like that.
Yeah.
So, the thing with Toy Story in particular, which I think is really funny. I mean, clearly these people are talking out their asses. They don't know. You know, they're just complaining about this without understanding.
Sure.
But with Toy Story... Jim Hanks voices Woody in all the video games and in all the merch and some of the stuff, I think, even with the theme parks. Like, Tom Hanks doesn't do those voices.
He yells at people for tripping his wife.
Yeah, but Disney doesn't pay Tom Hanks.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Jim Hanks is the voice of Woody in all the
games. I guess that's his brother.
Yeah, he sounds a lot like him.
Yeah, well, Bill Murray has a brother. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a bunch of brothers, but he had a brother. Well, I can't remember his name, but he was in a... He tried to make a movie career in the 80s, and...
He does something.
Was he the voice of Peter Venkman?
No.
Is it in the games or something?
Something,
though?
But like he sounds like Bill Murray a lot. But yeah,
that's funny.
He had a movie called Moving Violations, and him and Bill got like they were not good for a long time.
Oh, that's the brother he's mad at. That's
right.
Oh.
And then,
well, yeah, that's what it was because he went off and made a bunch of money doing Bill Murray voices or something like that.
Yeah, and like they actually like there's he plays the brother he makes up with in Scrooged. And like that
was really?
Kind of them.
Oh, that's interesting.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
but anyway, so but yeah, like locally there's a guy used to be on radio, Brendan Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Not the hockey player.
Oh.
And he was on The Point in the River. He was the voice of Major Backup. And he was the voice on all the Austin Powers toys in the 90s because they didn't pay Mike Myers to do it. And so they and he auditioned for it. And he
I mean,
was
if
the
you
voice
can,
of
if
your
you
Austin
it,
Powers clock and,
yeah.
all, and all that stuff.
So the point is, show me the list of actors who voiced their toys and video games, and it's going to be a lot easier than the voice that didn't because almost none of them do. It's
right,
a very
right.
rare thing. So the controversy, and again, Tim Allen is still working for Disney with a new series coming out, so there's no controversy, and Tim Allen wasn't even the one complaining.
No, it was his moron
co-star.
It was the gal from Home Improvement. It was the gal that played his wife.
No, it was the gal from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a different Patricia.
Right.
It's not the same.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's there's just people making up reasons to get mad about things. And, I mean, we probably don't need to go into it, but there's a reason people are mad at Disney.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a non-issue.
I will say, though, Chris Evans, who does the voice of Buzz in this one, if you were to play them side by side, they're not far off.
Mm.
Like, I think the voices they're definitely different, but they're not as different as you would think.
Honestly, I think a lot of the difference is not in the tone, but the delivery,
right?
Like the characterization of Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story is he's kind of an idiot.
Right.
Where this Buzz Lightyear is not an idiot. Like,
or the real person.
Yeah,
so.
Like he's very capable, but the Buzz Lightyear toy doesn't get that he's a toy.
You know what? See, I think the problem with this, one of the big problems with this movie, I wish they would have just made Buzz Lightyear a real person. I wish they would have made a universe where there were space rangers. And again, this is an animated film. You can go as crazy as you want with it, and it doesn't have to be real life. And the fact that they attached this to a movie that now has everyone drawing parallels and trying to figure out timelines, and is this a movie Andy would have watched in 1995 and then been instantly in love? Because I don't think it would be. I don't think this movie is that exciting for kids in 1995. I don't think this is the movie that Andy would have been watching.
This is a very 2022 version
this
of
is an adult. This is an adult animated movie. Not dirty. But you know what
right.
I mean? This is a grown up animated movie, and that's what Pixar does. And I get it, but it's not that fun. It's like
I thought the first 30 minutes was a little, as they were setting things up, I was kind of like, where are we going?
Yeah.
And once he got the team in place, I thought it was fun. I had fun once he got the team and we get Sox and all. Yeah.
Sox is great.
I do think it was fun in a way. And I didn't say there's no fun, but I just don't think for a kid's movie, I felt as engaged as I did in other kids' movies, even other Pixar movies, right? Like you know how Mitchell's vs. Machines has that nonstop energy to it and nonstop
Spider-Verse.
Jokes, and it's flashy and it's bright. And even a movie like Turning Red.
Sure.
Right? Turning Red is so fun and colorful and jokes and hit and it's modern and this and that. Like, kids' movies have a different energy to them. And this movie is very slow and it teaches very good lessons and it's good, but it's not.
I think the only lesson really is teamwork.
Well, I think the lesson, which is a lesson you honestly don't get in a lot of kids' movies, because kids' movies are always like, follow your dreams. And it's like, well, the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny. but it's also kind of like, you don't always get your dreams, but that doesn't mean you didn't have a good life.
Sure. That's
right?
True. That's fair.
And I think that's a really good message for a kid's movie. Like, I'm not saying like every kid's movie should have that message. That'd be pretty bleak. But like, I think it's a good one to mix in sometimes, that it's okay
to not do what you
to not. To,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that lesson at the very end is a very good lesson.
Yeah.
I agree. But so I just don't think the movie was that fun getting there as a movie, especially in the 90s, would be. So that's the problem with trying to connect it in this way.
I think if they wanted this to be the movie that Andy watched as a child, they should have embraced the 90s.
Yes.
Oh,
right?
For
there's
sure.
Nothing
like,
about
for sure.
This is, 90s.
Like I said, this is very
like
2022.
His partner should have been voiced by Whoopi Goldberg. And like it shouldn't have been Chris Evans, not because I don't like Chris Evans, but it should have been at the sort of 90s voice cast you would have seen in the 90s.
Who would have been Buzz in the 90s? Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Matthew Broderick?
Oh,
yeah.
Yep, absolutely, Matthew
Broderick.
I'm
not mad about the casting thing. I get why Tim Allen doesn't have to be Buzz Lightyear. Tim Allen's a much better voice actor than Chris Evans.
Well, I think Chris Evans
is just talking.
Chris Evans is Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Voice acting is such a it's an art.
And I know we haven't gotten into the plot of the movie, but like they should have used Tim Allen as the future Buzz
Lightyear. The fact that it was James Brolin.
What was that? Like, why not bring him in as the future Buzz.
Buzz is such a lovable, likable character, which is also another problem I have with making him the villain too.
Fair.
Spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So if you put Tim Allen in that, you're taking the
brand
down.
You're kind of also doubling down on...
Then you're saying that Buzz became...
Well, you're saying that like the Tim Allen Buzz is the bad
guy. Is evil and he's the bad guy. Like, yeah, so you can't. But,
but I agree. That would have been...
But yeah, Tim Allen's better.
Well, that's okay.
Voice, when you see Tim Allen voice acting, you hear him, and I know that he's a toy and he's silly, but that's why we love Buzz, the character.
I think to infinity and beyond.
Like right. It's just he's talking. Chris Evans is like, and again, I like the special, more realistic moments. Still, it's very well handled, but it's like, but to infinity, it's like more. This movie is so dull, and like I want a fun kids movie, not a.
When he says it like that, then they wouldn't have made the toy say it
like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, where did we get the to infinity and beyond? That toy thinks he is this Buzz from this movie.
Yeah.
What about this movie made that toy? Where do you see that connection?
Well, we should also
besides
say that,
from the buttons and stuff, but you know what I mean? In one of the suits.
From a characterization.
But it's just that there's too many problems connecting them. This would be a fun movie if it was its own, if it was called, you know, whatever Larry or whatever Buzz, you know, if you made this movie a different movie with these good lessons, gorgeous animation.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But we're also starting to blur the lines of, well, if you're making animation to look like real life, like I'd rather have a Mitchell's Versus Machine stylized animation or Spider-Verse, because now you're just so distracted by, wow, this looks so good. But it's like, that's not, you're not putting a unique style. You're like, oh, I'm making this look real.
Well, that's, I think of like, what was the emotion one?
Inside Out.
Inside Out. Like that's a gorgeous looking movie, but it does have like
colorful bubbles and
have like a Saturday morning cartoon kind of animation style.
So I think that they worked themselves into a corner because they wanted to make it connected somehow, because you've got this famous character, but they wanted to do this whole different thing.
Right.
And by doing that, now you're questioning all these things of how did you get from point A to point B? And it's you're distracted by those comparisons rather than enjoying the movie for what it is, which by itself I think it would have stood a lot better.
Yeah,
but you can't not connect it because the first title card says this was the movie.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't think this was the movie, because the Buzz Lightyear toy and he gets is so much more fun than the Buzz in this movie.
I also think we should say that like voice acting is a skill.
Yeah,
right. Like some actors, Tom Hanks and. Mm-hmm. Tim Allen, like those guys,
they're so animated.
It out. Robin Williams, like there's a reason they were those voices and those characters have lived on for as long as they
Pun
have.
Pun intended, they were animated. Think about how good those performances are. And I mean, Chris Evans does a fine job, and I think he's a good actor. I like Chris Evans. This isn't an anti-Chris Evans, but I'm just like watching him. I'm like, why is he in this role? Because he's a name. That's all it is star power. It's not skill. It's not because, oh, well, Chris Evans is the best voice actor for the role and the best in the biz. It's like, no, they wanted Captain America to do a voice in a Pixar movie to sell tickets, but, you know, it didn't work, apparently.
Did it not do well?
It's a pretty low opening for a Pixar movie.
It's getting beat by Jurassic World.
Damn.
I mean, this is a brand new Disney Pixar movie. One, they
based off of the insanely popular property
and the first Disney Pixar movie in theaters in like 6 years
and
or something.
Yeah, the last three movies have been to Disney Plus. So one, they conditioned families to know that Pixar movies go on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I think this is the weakest Pixar movie of the last four. I think
what were they?
So Soul.
Luca,
and Turning Red. I think all those movies.
Oh
are
no,
better
I think this is better than Luca.
It's better than Luca.
So you admit that the other two are better than this one?
Yes.
Soul, I don't know. I like Soul, but I think if I was going to sit down and watch a movie again, I'd watch Buzz Lightyear over Soul.
Would you really?
Huh? Man.
Interesting. I think I would watch Soul.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's like Soul, Buzz, Turning Red, Luca.
Yeah. The arc of the character in Soul, I think, is handled so much better, because I think in this one, as we get into the plot, I think they kind of cheat, because I don't exactly understand the agenda or the motivations between the villain of this movie. Like, I just getting commanding a whole robot army and being evil, and you're supposed to think he's Zurg, and then you get to him and he's like, oh yeah, I'm just trying to fix stuff. It's like, well, then why were you commanding this whole army and acting like a villain? I just don't think the Buzz in the future would have automatically gone to evil villain to achieve these goals.
But see, I don't think he's evil villain.
I think
right?
he's evil.
Like,
I don't think he is either. Why does he act like one?
Because he thinks he's fixing the timeline, and so none of this will matter because he'll fix the timeline.
But why is he acting like an evil villain with an army of evil robots instead of just using his future technology to achieve his goal? Like they, it's cheap because they.
Well, it's also cheap because Zurg is his father.
But you could also call that a retcon. One, that's a video game in Toy Story 2. It's not a movie. So it's not the sequel to the movie, and he watched the video game.
Yeah.
Two, in this movie, he thinks he's his father. So there's like an easy retcon going on in the video game. Oh, we changed it for whatever. Again, I agree with you, but it's also not so set in stone where you can't say, oh, they just.
Yeah, I just can't imagine a major film property letting the video game dictate something.
Yeah,
like, you know, create a plot point that major. You know what I mean?
But the video games for movies a lot of times are different than the movies. So, like, if it's a standalone video game and they thought that, oh, it was more impactful to make him his father, then, which I would agree them, do you really want the villain of your movie slash video game or whatever to just be old version of, like, I get what they're doing because of the story they're trying to teach here, but that's just kind of lame. I don't know. The fact that it's old Buzz.
I'm a nerd for multiverse and different universes. So like
him too.
When I see when Zurg reveals himself that it's old Buzz, he says, you know, I'm your father.
Which
and
I thought they were gonna do.
Oh man,
like, that's canon.
That's hilarious.
Make it his father.
Right.
If it were his father, I think from a story, not from the lesson, because again, that's what they're trying to do. But if they were to make it his father and they hinted at that in Toy Story 2 and all that, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. Now I want to know why his father's evil. Like, give me some. But the fact that he's just like, oh, yeah, I want to fix things and I was driven to this, I don't know.
I see your point.
Buzz Lightyear the villain of the movie. I think that's.
Well, they made a Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. And I also don't think the time travel works.
It does. So here's what I will say is it does work, apparently. So if you go on Disney Plus, one of the things that Disney used to do when I was a kid is they would always, before or after, like, whatever movie they were going to show on a Sunday night, they would have a little, like, half hour making
commercial.
Of something or
It's a commercial for the movie. Go see the movie.
So they have one of those for this.
I watched
on
it,
Disney
yeah.
Plus, and I think they talk to a guy who is like a physicist, and he's just like, the producers and the directors and writers of this movie went to this guy and were like, look, how is this going to work?
But he didn't ask him about time travel. He asked him about how do you skip 4 years in the future going light speed.
So what we're saying is that this Buzz traveled so fast and so far that he did time travel.
He this Buzz found alien technology completely unexplained. They just it's so cheap in the way they do it. They're like, oh, I traveled 100 years in the future and found a bunch of technology, and then he used that technology to time travel. It didn't have to do with going so fast.
Oh, I thought that
I think you're talking about two different Buzz Lightyears. You're talking about the Chris Evans Buzz Lightyear. He's skipping through ahead in time because he's traveling so fast. But then there's the Josh Brolin one who discovers alien technology and then uses that to go back.
Yeah, I'm talking about time travel, not relative.
I got you.
Time is what 4 years in the future. I get that a guy tried to explain that or whatever. I'm saying they didn't get the time travel right, I don't think, because what does Buzz Lightyear 100 years in the future time traveling back? But this Buzz Lightyear, he's like, I landed after my mission when I figured it out, and then they tried to arrest me. But we see his younger version comes back and doesn't get arrested and finds the granddaughter and stuff. I'm like,
well, no, he doesn't. No, so the old man Buzz came back after. This is so confusing. Okay, so when current timeline Buzz comes back the last time, and it's like he goes into the office and he sees like
the new
commander, whatever, and then he realizes he's like, Sox figures out the formula, and he takes off, right? When he takes off, old man Buzz comes back and then is arrested. Our current timeline didn't do that. He didn't come back.
Oh, so old man Buzz just happened to come back while our Buzz was away?
I guess.
Like at some point,
it's a different
time splinters.
Yes.
And so,
okay.
So the Buzz we're watching, the Chris Evans Buzz, you know, he steals a ship and takes off and then goes on this other adventure, but there's another version of them that came back and got arrested for stealing that ship.
Yes.
But you'd, okay, but you'd have to explain to me, because the movie never shows you where time splinters.
Sure, that's true.
They show you him going forward 4 years.
Yes.
When he figures it out, I do believe he went forward 12 years or something. It was a little 22 years because the granddaughter's
right.
grown up.
Right.
But we see Old Man Buzz in his explanation flashback say, I came back and they arrested me, tried to arrest me, and then blah, 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 and I tried to go and figure out a way to undo all this. And we see him looking like young Buzz
yes.
when they arrest him.
Yes.
Okay, so that doesn't make sense, because as far as we know, our Buzz didn't happen to him, and so now you have to show me where time splinters. I don't see where...
So are right. You are absolutely right. There's no explanation as to like why or where time splinters here. Because, but it does, right? Because I agree with you.
But the story doesn't work for me if you don't tell me that. You can't
that's an interesting question, though. Like,
I think you could make the argument, but again, we're writing their screenplay for
right.
them. Is that every time he went on one of those missions, time splintered. Every time
he
skipped ahead in time, it caused some sort of new timeline.
Some rift.
But they tried to make it realistic, and they just said time's relative, and when you move faster, the other people, you age slower. Like, they can't have both explanations.
Right.
They told us it was a science thing. On the making of thing, they interviewed a scientist, and they said this is how we're like, no one brought up time splintering. And so that's what I mean. I think this screenplay cheats in a lot of places, and I don't want...
Do you think that's okay? Like, for me personally, like, I think that's okay. I don't mind... I've seen enough stuff where I can be like, I can piece that together. If it's a kid, they don't give a shit.
But
you know what I
don't
mean? Like,
I don't care how it happened. I just need to know what happened, because if you don't tell me it splinters, but then you tell me that old Buzz, the hero of our story, becomes a villain because of X, Y, and Z, you just have to show me how that happened or why that happened. Not scientifically how, but like, he should have said, when I did something, time split, and we went on two different paths.
He does say he's like, I think at one point when he's like, for whatever reason, like, that didn't happen for you. Like, that's the line. Like, I think it's something so simple as like, I don't know why, but this little thing, because I think what happens is, right, so Buzz comes, he breaks the time barrier, he figures out the formula, or Sox does.
Yeah.
He lands, and then he's either attacked, and that's where we meet...
It's by Zurg, because Zurg was already there.
Right.
His army, yeah.
And then we meet the Hawthorne granddaughter. And then that's where the deviation happens.
Yeah.
Because when Old Man Buzz lands, he's immediately, like, captured by the general.
But then they shouldn't show us Old Man Buzz landing as Young Man Buzz, because that doesn't make sense. Buzz has only been gone for 22 years, they say.
Or 22 minutes for him, right? Is that the deal?
I guess, but yeah, our Buzz has been gone 22 years, but if you're telling me Old Man Buzz came back while he was gone, it would have to happen in that 22 years, and so he came back, and then you only have some time between Buzz leaving and 22 years happening, but he's old, so, but in Old Man Buzz's flashback, he was young, so he didn't age that much in 22 years, so it just doesn't...
Well, I just assumed that Buzz was going on other missions.
That's what I thought,
like,
too.
Like, that's why he's older.
Yeah, but why did
but then
Old
everybody,
Man Buzz's
but,
flashback
but then everybody
show
else
young?
Would be older, right?
Well, no, because if he comes back, if he gets older and then comes back
oh,
in time,
I see.
You know?
But Old Man Buzz showed us a flashback of him looking like Young Man Buzz. He goes, when I came back, they tried to arrest me and blah, 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 explaining to our Buzz, like, why he went evil, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that's as problematic as you think, because he just went on more time-skipping adventures after he got away from them.
Yeah.
Like
trying to put things right.
Yeah, like, he's just been trying to put it right all these years, so he keeps skipping ahead in time.
The main problem really is you have to show me how time slipped before
that.
That
I agree.
Because Joe's giving me a different explanation, trying to figure out how this could happen, but then I'm like, well, that doesn't work out because he's young in his flashback. So I get it, and that's where I was thinking, Tom, but then you have to show me where time slipped.
No, I agree with that.
It's just messy, and that's the problem with time travel. It's not just this movie. But
I think the time travel works.
Well, your problem with the time travel is that they didn't really acknowledge that they were doing time travel until they needed it.
Right.
Like heroes.
Yeah. But I think the time, I like the idea of like the light speed thing, right? Mm. Like, I'm okay with that, where he's traveling at the speed of light.
I know, that's not time travel. I don't call that time travel.
Oh,
that
I think
is,
it, but
that's
I mean,
science.
It is.
That's relative. that you're just saying that you're moving so fast that time travel to me is you. I get what you're saying because you're more in the future because you're going slower. When I talk about time travel, you're being able to manipulate.
Yeah, like
3 years back, seven years forward.
Okay,
you're more like controlling the effects of time on a specific
thing.
Person.
Yes. Old Man Buzz found time travel and chose to go back to this point. That's what I mean by time travel.
And they're using both as a plot device in this movie, right?
And you're not wrong. It's technically time travel.
Technically we're time travelers.
Exactly.
Right, we can only go forward.
It's just more of a definition. Like when I say time travel, I mean the kind you can choose
to go. You mean
like
Back to the Future?
Yeah, time.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You got
Looper.
It.
I get it.
So basically, the plot of this story is Buzz and his crew crash land on an alien planet.
Buzz makes a mistake. Is it Prometheus or was it Covenant, where they find life on a different planet and they take a detour? Or was it Alien?
I think Prometheus, because David wants to capture the aliens.
Or is it the first Alien, where they make a detour to a different planet so they can, and that's how they get the aliens?
Because
the
bad
ship.
Guys want weapons,
right?
Yeah,
right.
So they kind of do
an aliens thing where a life pings on this planet, and Buzz decides to take the ship, which I like that they call the Turnip because that's what it looks like, down to this planet and take a look, and it's just like, why? That's my whole thing about this. It's like same way with Alien. Why?
It was a distress signal in the
original, but
Weyland Yutani wants them to capture them as weapons. Or maybe that's the second one. But the reason they get in trouble is they're like the Weyland Yutani is bad guys in the background.
Right.
But this point is they just stopped on a planet for resources. Whatever. That's
fine. There's life on that planet. Let's go take a look at it. And of course they go, and because Buzz lands, this is where we get all of the throwbacks to the toy where he's monologuing, and it's the exact same. Yeah. It's almost word for word what Tim Allen Buzz says in the first Toy Story about the terrain and and everything. He's monologuing.
That's how they connect the two. And I think that's good. Like,
I think there's
not
a lot
of this
that.
Movie for existing. And if you're going to do it, you have to make the one it's based on say the things the toy does, or else how would the toy know him, right?
When he fights Zurg, it's the same move that he uses in the video game and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But because he has landed, the ship is kind of pulled down by the vines on this world that are alive.
Yeah.
So Buzz tries to get out of there, and in the process of getting them out of there, he's refusing any sort of help whatsoever. He clips like a mountain, basically, and it not destroys the ship, but it disables the ship, and they can't get out.
It messes their fuel up, and that's the big thing. It's they have to do this. They have to travel at light speed in this universe.
And they can't.
And they can't without that type of fuel, and they would have to figure out how to create it on this alien planet.
Buzz is in distress because he feels like he has cost all of these people their lives. Because he has. Yeah.
But it was also in honest, he was trying to save their lives, too.
He's the one who decided to take the ship down to the planet, and he's the one that clipped the side of the mountain, and, so this entire story, for the most part, is he has, his best friend Hawthorne. And I think it kind of goes, this is the first time that Disney Pixar had the balls to show a same-sex relationship and not make a big, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
I like the way that Buzz reacts, where he's just, where I think she's single at one point, when he comes back, she 4 years later, obviously she's...
That's the crux of the whole story, actually. It all relies on this relationship.
That's really interesting.
The entire movie depends on that relationship, because at the end of the movie, when he has the choice to undo everything to get back to what they consider their normal life, he's like, well, then she wouldn't have met her wife, they wouldn't have had their kids, so on and so forth.
Right.
So this other
character would no longer exist.
Now, you could have done that with a straight relationship too. I mean, you met this person, you had kids, but the fact that they actually did it. And it isn't in your face, and the people getting outraged about it saying you're indoctrinating in sexual relationships, it's like they're doing no more than if it were straight.
Yeah.
That's my point, is that you could have done this with
any relationship. I saw this with my kid when it was done. I had to explain fisting.
Right.
I was just like, this is a bridge too far.
That's the thing that's so ridiculous, when the people that clearly they're not the people even seeing the movie are complaining.
Right. Well, I think it's funny. You sent me a tweet where somebody was like, Jurassic Park's winning because you don't have to explain sexuality and stuff at Jurassic Park. And I was like, The entire plot of Jurassic Park revolves around a woman having a baby without a man. That's the entire plot of that movie.
Yeah, you're not mad at that?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's Jesus. They're cool about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was all, it's, I mean, it's all in vitro fertilization,
yeah,
right?
You don't need, like, you don't
I mean,
need
which
men.
Is the same way these women had that baby, most likely.
It, probably.
Well, yeah, it, yeah, you're right. I guess technically you could do it in a more primitive way, but you're right. Yeah, they not in this science-y world. But yeah, so if they didn't crash land there and get stuck on this alien planet, she wouldn't have met one of the engineers or whoever that she ended up marrying. And every time Buzz tries to test the new formula for a fuel that will get them off the planet, it goes 4 years. So you see her married, you see her pregnant, you see, you know, and eventually, and you see her.
They do like a little up montage.
It is kind of, very much so.
And that was having me tearing up. I'll tell you what, especially when they got to that last one.
The last one was tough. That was a good little gut punch.
I turned to Katie. I was like, damn it, Pixar, because, you know, it was good.
But it is like,
you see her, you see her pregnant, but not, you see her with her son, and then you see her with her
son. Do you
not
see her
married?
Oh, you don't see the kid bouncing around in the apartment? Am I wrong about that?
Well, remember, the main character of this movie is the granddaughter.
Right.
So I'm saying you see her with the son, and you see the son get married or whatever, and then eventually the last one is the granddaughter, because she comes in when, what is her name? You don't see her for very long, because...
Well, I was just thinking, you're right, but she's basically doing like a video message, and she's like, I'm not going to be here when you get back, so this is like
Alicia Hawthorne. You see her on her deathbed, and then the granddaughter, she goes, this is my granddaughter. So that's the first time you see Izzy,
okay.
becomes the main character that takes over.
Right.
But so you see all that stuff happening, and so they're showing you that Alicia had an entire life while Buzz was gone, which makes it that much sadder, because this was his best friend,
right?
And he didn't get to
And also, experience. I thought it was sad because Buzz isn't having a life.
And she says that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that she, does she say that? She's like, you've lived such a great life. She's like, yeah, and you haven't.
Yeah.
Like, you've been.
But he also has the chance to live his
life.
Right.
It's only been a few months for him.
Right. Yeah.
But still, like, all this stuff is going on and he's not living a life.
With his best friend, which is really sad. So we see all that stuff happen. And then when he comes back the last time, Hawthorne has passed away. And I guess that's when we see the video message. So first she passes away. He comes in to say like, hey, you know, and then all of a sudden her desk is cleared out and a new guy is coming to take over. And
he basically is like, all right, man, we're ready to rock and roll. He's like, no, the new commander's like, we're scrapping this whole thing. Like, we're just resigned to living here. They've built like this whole civilization here.
You've got a whole generation of people now. This is all they've ever known.
Right.
And they're like, why do we need to go?
They've got the shield.
And Buzz has failed this mission for 100 years. Like, this is another problem where I have with them kind of making the other commander and stuff the quote-unquote bad guy. Why in these movies are we so against authority, rebel? We talked about how John Hamm in the real world was right in Maverick. Like, he's doing what would be right.
Right.
This commander that has taken over for Hawthorne failed these missions. I'm not saying her intentions were bad.
Right.
But if you fail for 60 to 100 years on missions that are costing the society their time and resources and livelihood, like, eventually the new guy might say, this isn't working. Like,
well, yeah, and
I'm
you
want
to go back to something that they've never been a part of.
Yeah.
So they don't need to
like you said, a whole generation that doesn't know Earth.
So,
but that's always been a trope in movies, which is frustrating. It really more just frustrating in how pervasive it is, which is just this lone rebel who doesn't follow the rules, but he's the one who's really right.
But,
and I'm like, yeah, that's like, in real life, that's called treason.
I gotta tell
you,
Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon doesn't stay a cop for very long.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, you don't get to jump off the roof with a guy and still get to keep your badge.
Right.
But we're talking about lessons learned, and this is a kids movie. What are you teaching kids when Buzz is supposed to come back? He has 60 years to figure this crap out. I know his intentions were good. He didn't.
Right.
He had 60 years, and it's time to move to a different.
He didn't have 60 years, though. He had 6 months.
I know, but there are people
perceptually
died.
To the
people, they died
yes.
off. They had 60 years to figure this out, and Alicia was in charge, and they never rebelled against her. They didn't kick her out. They let her die in that position.
That's true.
Getting them no closer to leaving home.
Yeah.
And the next people that took over said, we've got to start accepting this is our new
this
home in reality. And then Buzz is rebelling against authority, against his commander. So I'm just saying,
it's interesting.
Why is that okay for your hero to do that?
I think the rebellious hero, right? Like, I do think of Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon or John McClane, like that rebel hero is not really a reality anymore.
Yeah.
You can't, like, that works in the 80s.
Right.
And in the early 90s. In 2022, it's a different world. Like, yeah, it's a different system. So that,
who are
that,
the rebellious that, heroes in 2022, or who thinks they are? I mean, right?
Well, yeah.
Right.
No, that's exactly it.
It's just,
yeah,
you can't. So I think I do also have
you
a problem.
Where, you know where it works, though?
Where's that?
Is Civil War. You've got the government saying you need, and the government
works when the guys rebelling against are actually bad. But my point is, they're not in this.
Well,
movie.
I mean, like in Civil War, like he
MCU Civil War.
MC, yeah, I'm sorry, not the actual,
Civil War.
Yes, just to be sorry, no, the rebels.
Yeah.
It's a very different thing.
Yes,
yeah, but like you've got Iron Man, and the government isn't wrong in that movie, right? Like everything that happens in the beginning when Wanda blows up that building, the government isn't wrong.
This is what I love about that storyline. It's like I really understand how both sides landed at the position that they did.
So when Captain America's on one side and is like absolutely not, like, and Iron Man's on, that makes sense and that works because you can side with either one and neither one are the bad guys. But Captain America is the rebel in that scenario. I just don't think you have to be insanely smart about how you're going to represent the guy who's going to buck authority and still be technically the good guy.
But don't they have like Hydra in Captain America still, though? So there is still kind of a bad, and the government is infiltrated with Hydra.
But you're Captain Iron Man and Spider-Man and War Machine, like those are your good guys, right?
Right.
So, but, and they're on one side where you've got Cap and his crew on the other side. So you're right, where Hydra influences some pieces of that, but we don't know that until.
But I think that also allows it. It's easier to side with the quote unquote rebel when you know there's like a bad guy behind the scenes pulling strings.
We didn't know when we saw it.
Yeah.
Hydra hadn't been like, but that's how Hydra thing hadn't happened yet.
But that's how you brought Captain America back as being the good guy, because he doesn't come back and they say, well, you rebelled against the government and stuff, like you can't be a hero still.
Well,
you can be like, well, there were bad guys pulling the strings.
When the alien invasion starts, they're like, yeah, I guess this is a dumb thing for us to fight about. You can come back, like, you're cool.
But you see what I mean, though?
I didn't mean to like use Chris Evans in both of these analogies.
No, I know.
It just kind of happened.
But that's, so in this one, I'm just kind of like, man, they really got their shot, and I get their point. When, of course, I want Buzz Lightyear to win and be the hero and all that, but I'm like, man, they got all this time. They have to, how many more hundreds of years and generations are they going to waste when they could be building the society and making
and they do
it better,
right? Like it's there,
and that's the lesson that Buzz learns, right? So they were
so basically he comes back and he Sox, who is this probably the best character
he's the best part of the movie.
He's fantastic.
Alicia made him to keep Buzz a companion because he was gone so long and needs to be.
And it's a very normal looking cat, except it's a robot.
Yeah.
And Sox is tasked with figuring out this formula. And he does. He figures out the formula to get to hyperspeed.
Yeah.
And Buzz takes it upon himself to be the rebel, steal the ship, and give it a shot. And he does it. And he breaks the time barrier. Not the time barrier, but he breaks light speed, comes back, and all hell has broken loose on this new world. He's 20-something years in the future.
Yeah, I think it was 22 years.
Yeah. And he realizes
that...
Because
he went so fast that now it's not 4 years of the future.
The faster you go, the slower you go, but the faster time moves around you. We find this new team, and it's Alicia's... Is that right?
Izzy is the granddaughter.
Izzy is the granddaughter.
And Alicia is Uzo Aduba,
yes,
the actor. And I thought she was good in this. I liked her as an actor, and I thought she was good, but she's not in it that much. Izzy really takes over.
She's the Hawthorne that we see.
Yeah, is Buzz's right-hand lady.
We've got Taika Waititi, which is, he has hitched his wagon to Disney.
Oh, yeah.
And he is not stopping. He is just going to keep rolling
Star
with Disney.
He's
Star Wars and Thor.
He's got Thor, He looks a lot like him. They did a good job.
They did,
I
like that. So you've got this ragtag group of team.
And you have an ex-convict as well.
Oh, yeah, right. Who can make a bomb out of anything.
Yeah, in three parts or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So the goal here now that they have Buzz is they're going to blow up the Zerg ship, right? And the Zerg, we see it's the same look that we see in the other ones. It's the same robots that we see. It's the whole, everything's the same. And they come up with this plan, and it's a terrible plan. It's not working, and they are not Space Rangers.
Which
they're
really riding themselves in a corner here, because now if you say that Zerg was actually evil Buzz, and Buzz learns his lesson and undoes it all, then who is the Zerg in the rest of the stories? I mean, I know they left it open, but they're going to have to figure this out.
I don't think
now
we're getting
Zerg
I don't know that we're going to be getting more.
I think this is we're getting one and done.
And unless this really takes off on Disney Plus, like Encanto did.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But you know
that
what
right? It did better on Disney Plus than in theaters?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came and went in theaters, and then it hit Disney Plus, and then became this juggernaut.
But when they're making this story, they got to think of that stuff, that if we want to have all these cutesy little connections, and Zerg looks like Zerg, and his Zerg bots look like Zerg bots, and everything looks the same, right? But now you made the villain Buzz doing time travel, and then he learns...
But once you introduce time travel, you can always have another Buzz coming back from the future.
Oh, I know, but I don't think they want to make Zerg be Buzz for the... full time. Like, I don't think, because the movie and the video game, whatever the mythology of Toy Story, the show, Zerg is actually this evil emperor, like in this cartoon series that this pulls a lot from. So what I'm saying is I don't think the end game is to always have Zerg be Buzz. So now you have to figure out, well, how do you introduce the real Zerg?
Yeah.
And why maybe does his real, stuff maybe look
the,
all
maybe,
like
well,
buzzes?
Maybe the real Zerg.
You got a Mandarin it.
Well, I mean, maybe the real Zerg is what Buzz stole the technology from the real Zerg, and that's why he looks... Either way.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, but now that is the question is, well, who is Zerg?
You know, and making an evil Buzz isn't the worst lesson for a kid's movie, right? Like, we all have this ability to go be evil. And
that's
true. You got to not do it, you know?
So it doesn't
necessarily have to lessen Buzz having him be an evil version. It can be like, no, that makes this... the core Buzz that much better because
he's learned
because it's in him, but he ain't doing it.
No, it's actually gutsy. They did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really owned it.
Yeah. And I just don't think I like the idea of him being Zerg because Zerg has his own mythology and stuff. Right. So there's just too much going on at the same time. I like a lot that they did and what they were going for. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it always worked with,
That makes sense. Yeah. So they devise this plan. It's not working out well.
Basically, they've created they did like the Simpsons. They've created a dome,
a dome around
the city to protect them because the new commander says, like, we're not going to try these missions anymore. We're going to live here and we're going to be protected by the laser shield. So the laser shield was up when Zerg attacked, and so Zerg can't get in there. My guess is Zerg was trying to get in there to get the fuel ingredients he needed so he could do the time travel and fix everything. So they're trapped in the city, and only... Buzz and these recruits who aren't even rookies, they're not part of the Space Corps. They are like junior. Yeah, they're just people that volunteer to do stuff. And and Tyke, Mo was going to quit anyway. The convict has to do it to get parole or something.
Right.
And so they don't really even want to be there, but that's who he's stuck with. And the lesson of the story is he has to work with people. He has to ask for help. He didn't even want help of Space Rangers. Now he has to get help from kids.
These morons.
Yeah.
And I say that lovingly, but like, they're morons.
Yeah.
You know, like
they have not been breeding the next generation of space.
No, they have not. Taika Waititi's Mo basically keeps
messing everything up.
And then I think Izzy ends up like ejecting.
Well, Izzy is scared of space travel.
That's true.
And she wants to be a space ranger.
Right.
So
I do like that Buzz is like, you know, it's kind of part of the thing.
That's the
right?
first part. Because he's like, space phobia is the
you
first.
Kicked, you kicked out immediately. Yeah. But she ends up like right when they're about to get up to the ship, I think she like ejects the fuel cell and Zerg steals the fuel cell.
Yeah. She screws up the whole thing because she's like trying so hard to help Buzz and whatever. And she ends up not pressing the light speed button or something, presses eject.
Kicks the, so all of our, what happened, Buzz is defeated at this point, but he ends up going with Zerg. Like Zerg kind of kidnaps him. And this is, we get the reveal up on the ship, that Zerg is old man Buzz. And then he's trying to set the right, you know, the wrong things right. And this is where our Buzz is faced with the conundrum of, do I let him do this? Because if I give him my fuel cell, because his had burned out, he will go back in time and everything goes back to normal, right? We start from the beginning, but then he realizes if I do that, this person no longer exists.
Yeah. And I like the idea, and I just want to be clear. I like how the villain isn't a villain. I've said it before. The best villains are the ones that think they're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially the ones you can be like, well, you know, they kind of got a point. My problem was painting him as evil Emperor Zerg with evil robots and doing villain things only to do the reveal and be like, oh, well, he's just old Buzz and he's just trying to fix things. Like, they trick you the entire movie making him the dun-dun-dun, the villain, evil Zerg.
The Darth Vader.
He's not Zerg. He's Buzz. Like, why are you acting so evil when you could just be old Buzz. And
it's the old, hey, if you just tell Batman that Lex has your mom.
That's what I mean. Talk to these people and say, hey.
Takes his whole fight out of the whole thing.
Or talk to the people and say, hey, I guess they know they didn't like young Buzz. But you know what I mean? Somehow, if you're going to try to capture them, send a message and say, listen to me. I figured it out. Whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just the doing it through force as the evil Emperor Zurg.
Right.
And actually not being Zurg is the problem. I like that Buzz is like, I have to do this. I have to fix this. He's got this superiority complex.
You have to finish the mission.
And he did not ever learn the lesson right up until he's an old guy now acting this way. And then young Buzz, because of meeting all these new recruits, learns that it is okay to ask for help. And these people wouldn't even exist. And like Tom said, the lesson is there's a whole life these people had. So what you consider a failure was actually hundreds or thousands of people's lives.
Well, yeah, because of Buzz's failure, all of this exists.
And doesn't make it any less real or any less important. These are real lives. And so I love that he learns that lesson. I think it's great.
Yeah. So the big old fight ensues, and they try to, they end up like getting off the ship and surviving. And
Izzy has to face her fears. So all the characters grow over time. And so Izzy.
Like spacewalk.
Yeah. She, Buzz, she tracks.
Which I got to tell you. Like, was a little anxiety inducing. Like, when she goes across, you know,
well,
she can...
Because it was socks. You thought you were going to lose socks. That's
well,
like,
that's
oh
not even that. But just, like, even that idea where she kind of hits it right on the head is, you just keep going.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that is terrifying to me. Uh-huh. They do it really well in any space movie where, like, you see somebody, like, trying to grab something and they're just floating away.
Yeah. There's
like,
no breaks in space.
There are no breaks in space.
So, but Sox is about to float away.
Yeah.
Izzy has to get to Buzz, who's
like, don't you dare pull a bing bong. I swear to God.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I'm sitting there. It's like, oh, man, we love Sox. He's the best thing in this movie. And he's about to float away, and it's sad.
Yeah.
And so she has to go and move as fast as him. And eventually, Sox goes off
she, like, grabs
screen, and he's floating off. And, she grabs the tail. So she faces her fears and gets over that. And Mo ends up helping and not screwing things up. Like, they all have their little character arc as well for the recruits.
And then they come back, and they blow up. They kill old man Buzz. Like, they blow up the ship. That's true. Yeah. You don't see a body.
Well, for the
third
post-credit scene, we find out they don't.
I guess that. Was there really a third one?
Yeah.
I didn't stick around for
it. Oh, I got through two.
Yeah, I know. You should have stuck for the third.
Where was the third one?
The place they never are, after the logos.
Really?
So I'll explain. So you think Buzz is not, old man Buzz slash Zurg is not
dead.
Oh, man,
I bounced after the second.
But yeah, so Zurg ends up catching up with Buzz. He has the fuel. He's going to escape, and Zurg comes and attacks him.
Basically, they blow up the ship. It's the self-destruct mode. The self-destruct mode blows up the ship. And then they use the little, like, disc or whatever to get back to wherever they need to be, I think. Mm. Like, the little teleport disc, and then they get off the ship, and they end up going back, and that's where they see, you know, they get kind of court-martialed by the commander, and he was like, you know, I should kick you out, but I'm not gonna. You're
Which
the
is
new,
also the thing it happens in every one of
those
movies.
Every one of those movies, right? Like, yeah.
It's okay to break the rules as long as you succeed.
That's right.
Which
that's
is, again, a very weird lesson for a kid's movie. Disrespect authority if you think you're right, and there will be no repercussions.
I do think I don't have a problem with the disrespect authority if you believe in some. I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem with, like, just because it worked out, like, doesn't mean that you get to.
That's true of any time you're standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
Or standing up for what you believe in, because some people are going to stand up for things and be wrong.
And and that's fine.
Right. Yeah.
And they, if that's, you know, I don't have a
problem.
And
I think the bigger problem is that these movies tend to always portray bucking authority as the right thing.
I agree.
And it would be nice to see sometimes a story where somebody's like, yeah, no, you were wrong. Like,
learn
you know,
lesson,
like, if you
right?
think about it,
or you're out.
I can think of two movies where you buck authority and you end up and the characters end up being wrong, or at least it's muddled.
What?
The Caine Mutiny and A Few Good Men.
Okay.
What is A Few Good Men? Because I thought, wasn't he right?
But remember the speech at the end after the "You Can't Handle the Truth" moment, where the I can't remember
judge,
the names.
Right?
The Black Marine is like, no, we should have helped this kid, and we didn't. Like, we deserve to go to jail. Like, we were wrong.
Oh.
Like.
Oh, you're right.
You know?
I see. Okay. Because I'm like, because he did order the code red and all that, so, like.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think what.
No, I guess there. I know. I guess I take that back. There, it's they do follow the authority, but the authority figure was wrong.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's not even
Caine
really.
Mutiny.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not
spoiler. Like, look, the founding fathers. They staged a rebellion and they fought against the British. But if they hadn't won,
they would have been a bunch of rebels.
They would have been put down, and they'd be a footnote in history, yeah, and every third city in this country would be named after Benedict Arnold, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Benedict Arnold had done what he'd done, and the Americans had lost, he'd be a hero.
Sure.
So if right. you know, so I mean, that's always the conundrum. If you stand up for what you believe in, you know, what's the old line? If you take a shot at the king, you better not miss.
Yep. That's
and
right.
So. Yeah,
it's weird, but anyway.
But yeah, so he realizes that this is what we need to do. They come back, and then the colonel or whatever is like, "You did a good job." I think
that's Isaiah Whitlock.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
it is. This is pretty awesome.
I should kick you out, but because you did such a good job, you're the new commander of the Space Rangers, and you could pick your own crew from this elite squad of. You know, Space Rangers, and of course he picks his ragtag group of misfits.
Of course. Yes, yeah. You guys are fired.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
take Hank and Bill and Tom, the Space Marines.
Yes,
see you guys. That would have been hilarious. He's like, you guys aren't Space Rangers.
What are you doing? What? No. Yeah, and that's how it's them going on another mission.
And Commander Burnside is Isaiah Whitlock Jr.
Yes. Yeah. Who was great.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I think...
Peter Son is Sox. I just want to give him credit because,
oh, sure.
man, that...
You have expected
director
to be Alan Tudyk at
the
this
good
point.
Dinosaur.
Oh, is that right?
There you go. Yeah.
You'd think that Alan Tudyk would take a, voice.
He's done a lot of voices, though, too.
Yeah, he was in Ratatouille and stuff
Monsters
like
University. He was one of the, the goofy fraternity they end up joining.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, the little... pink squishy one, I think.
I think a lot of times Pixar has people do scratch tracks for voices and then they end up liking them and they're like, just do it.
Andrew Stanton, I was reading, actually was in the Buzz Lightyear cartoon. I can't remember who it was, but and that's a whole weird thing because Patrick Warburton did the voice.
Yeah, he's Buzz Lightyear in that cartoon.
But he did it for the movie and then they replaced him with Tim Allen. They put Tim Allen back in.
Oh, really?
Patrick Warburton, the cartoon is a spinoff from the movie.
Right, there's a 2-hour backdoor pilot kind of a movie called
and
Buzz Lightyear.
Warburton did the voice for the whole movie.
Okay,
and they ended up scrapping it, and Tim Allen did the voice. In
oh,
the movie,
really?
And
oh,
then
okay.
He did the TV show. So, anyway, but Andrew Stanton is the voice of someone else in that, which is like, wow, that's a big Pixar director. Mm. That's cool. He actually did the voice. So you're right. A lot of them end up doing voices for
yeah. And that's how this one ends. And I guess they were...
So the first post-credit scene, which I think was kind of worthless, which they should have just scrapped, was that commander in his office drinking coffee. You see out the window the laser shield and a bug flies into it and he just goes, lasers.
But that should be
that's
your final
the
stinger.
That's the
post
your
final stinger. Yeah.
The worthless one should be at the end
right.
where if you don't stay, it doesn't matter. It's
right.
for the people that stay. The funny post-credit scene... Or the post-credit scene, I think, should have been the third one you guys didn't see, which is the Zerg robot armor floating in space and the eyes light up. So that Buzz and
So him. Where was that one?
After the Pixar lamp, after the Disney Studios logo, after the copyright notice.
Good Lord.
They hit it at the end, but that's the one that's important to the story, which should be the actual post-credits.
Yeah.
And then the one at the very end should have been the silly, jokey one.
Right.
I just think.
There was a second one, too, wasn't there?
The second one is the funny one, which I think should have just been the goofy one after the
where the
logos.
Robot was trying to explain the...
Yeah, it's a in-joke or whatever. You know, it was the long joke that the robot is trying to give directions and he can't for some reason. He's horrible and they end up just leaving and you never see what happens or see him again.
Oh, that's why I left because I was like, oh,
I thought that was it.
I was like, if there's an end credit joke, it's going to be that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be this guy. When they were setting that up, I was like, that's your end credits gag.
Yeah. So they come back to him and he's still finishing his directions.
But he's given like a third or fourth route. He's like, if you want the more scenic route,
yeah, and then he's like, and then that should get you there. And turns out, guys. Yeah. So it's like, I think that 3 doesn't really work because you don't have that many spots for them. They should have just made the funny robot one, which was a setup and payoff.
Right.
And then they should have made the one, I think the Zerg one should have been first because it's like, oh, God, there could be more. I wonder if they switched them around because they were like, well,
we ain't
maybe
getting more.
We're not getting more. So we'll put it on there that it exists, but we're not setting it up for the sequels coming in 2023. I don't know, but it's a weird order they put them in.
It is. I will agree with that. So
there you go.
I also had an interesting thought that if this movie takes place within the continuity of Toy Story, then that means everyone who worked on this film is now a Disney character.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. But that also means that Woody's Roundup. Well, I guess we saw Woody's Roundup.
We saw
right?
Woody's Roundup.
So that,
yeah, that has that, an actual origin story in the movies, right?
That's true.
Because we saw
that's
what
true.
The show was, yeah.
Man,
this is just a throwaway line. This is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This is just a
a
throwaway that they said, "Oh, Andy went to go see a movie." Like, we didn't get any of this established. Now the cartoon does, of course, but this is kind of recreating what the cartoon does.
Right, right, right.
But it's like, yeah, this is just the movie he comes home from.
Well, and I kind of looked at the cartoon as like, well, the cartoon's the you know is real Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
yeah,
Ghostbusters.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So like, it didn't have to really. Follow any of that.
That's how I always thought in the past was that it's not canon to the movies because it's his own thing. Aladdin, the Saturday morning cartoon or whatever.
Lion King.
I don't think
stuff.
Of those as canon. I think of those as their own little spin-off fun shows.
Oh, interesting. Really?
Yeah.
I consider those like just different adventures in the world.
Well, because I think that there's so much going on there that if they were to keep making movies, then you would start saying, well, what happened when in episode 32, Timon did blah, 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 and he has a sister that blah, blah. Like those, if they're canon,
it's like
that's all.
It's like reading a comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are a whole lot of canon that they're setting up. And I think that those storylines get approval pretty quick because I have to whip out Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, no
they
joke.
Can't think, well, hold on. If you have Timon have a sister, then he couldn't be an orphan like you said he was.
I never consider that stuff canon. Same way that like Marvel Star Wars comics. Even when I was reading them when I was, you know, 12, I was like, well, this isn't.
Well, they are now.
Did they pull them all in as canon?
Yeah.
Like, but like
anything that was not done by Marvel, so all the Dark Horse stuff, all that stuff is like
that's
extended.
Scrapped.
That is like, I don't know what they call that, but the Marvel stuff,
but not the Marvel stuff from the 70s.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the stuff that they're
sure,
doing
now that they're, they work like that.
Now that there's cinematic
the
universes.
We live in.
But see, that's again, going back to my earlier point, by making this the movie that Andy saw that spawned all the stuff that we saw already, you're creating all these complications.
I will
say,
if you're going to invest in a Star Wars comic from the 70s, number two is what you're looking at. Yeah. That's the first appearance of Obi-Wan and Han Solo and Chewbacca and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
I wish they made this 90s sci-fi.
Yeah,
I think they should have embraced the 90s. The other thing, and I don't mind the lesbian characters, but like no way a movie in 1995 has lesbian characters.
And that's one of those retcons, I think, the way you explain that is like colorblind casting, right?
Right.
For plays. We live in a time where things work differently.
Yeah.
And so I get that one more explaining away than the style of the film, which is like this movie would not exist in 95.
Or you have some overtly awful stereotype.
Well,
in 1995.
Oh, like you weren't suggesting that they should have done that.
No.
To really make it feel like the 90s.
Right. Well, so I'm saying, if you want to make it like the 90s, that's what the 90s would have done.
Yes.
Right.
They would have done some awful stereotype.
Right. You have to fix that stuff.
Yeah.
But the look and feel of a film, because again, we didn't create this problem. You did. You said this was the movie Andy watched in 95. So I'm not being hypercritical. You told
Do you think you'd have this many problems if they didn't say that? If they just said, this is a Buzz Lightyear movie?
No.
Well, no, because
then it would be an Elsewhere story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you need to establish somehow that it's Buzz Lightyear, not the toy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because. Yeah, because if you say it's a Buzz Lightyear movie, people are going to go in thinking that they're going to get an adventure with the toy.
Right.
But Joe is saying, though, still, though, even if you explain it's not in the same canon, if it's an Elsewhere story, then you don't have to connect any of it. You say, this is a reboot.
There was a real Buzz, and this is just one
of
the adventures.
That's what I'm saying.
I
wish Buzz Lightyear was just a real person. And you could even say the movie Andy watched was based on the real person, right?
Which is what I thought this was going to be.
Well, because Chris Evans had tweeted that.
Okay.
Because I thought that, too, at first, and I was like, wait. And I was like, where did I get that? And then I read an article. He had tweeted, it's based on the character. It's based on, this is supposed to be the story of the real Buzz Lightyear. Who inspired the movie that then he bought the toy of. Then the Pixar people were like, that's not.
Pixar's like, stop tweeting.
But if you think about it, how many movies that even involve real characters are fictionalized and changed?
Yeah.
So that would have been perfect because then we would just say, well, this is the real adventure and the toys in the movie changed it, right? I just think that if they would have put a little more thought into how they connected, you could have explained.
But if you say it's the real adventure, then you got to say that Andy lives in a world where they have space rangers.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're right. Like,
and that's clearly not the world we're seeing.
That's
in those
true.
Movies.
You're
so
right.
So you'd create a different problem. And
we
didn't really discuss, but I feel we should say before we wrap up that the idea of like, because some people were like, well, the animation wouldn't look like this in the 90s, and that this isn't an animated movie.
Yeah, it's live action.
To Andy.
Oh, sure, sure,
because Andy is animated to us.
Right.
Buzz Lightyear is animated to us. This is Andy watching a live action film.
Right.
That makes sense.
So
okay.
That was the best explain away for me. It's like, it's a live action movie.
It's a live
action.
To Andy.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm not sure if I want to right now. This is good. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. Also, starting next week, Matt and I are going to start breaking down the Evil Dead stuff. So that'll be available
get my invite. That's weird.
That's okay.
Huh. Okay. This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and listen to the Games We Love podcast.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Andy gets a puppy who will also be getting a movie.
Get ready for a spoiler. Say it twice, 'cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.